Welcome to Whiskey Cask, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 132 for February 17th, 2008. Coming up in a few minutes.
It's the most bespoke thing you can almost do in whiskey as a consumer. And I think, you know, for the discerning gentleman drinker that has his own cask maturing in Scotland, it's really quite a satisfying experience being a cask owner.
That's Johnny McCormick, who wrote the cover story for the latest issue of Malt Advocate magazine on buying your own cask of whiskey directly from the distillery. More with Johnny in a few minutes, including the story of how he bought his own cask. First, though, let's look at the news. Bushmills is marking the 400th anniversary of legal distilling in the area around the Irish distillery this year, and the Bank of Ireland is getting in on the act. It's changing the design on its 5, 10, and 20-pound notes to feature an image of the distillery. The new bills will go into circulation in Northern Ireland in April. As I've reported before, Bushmills is also releasing a special 1608 bottling this year as part of its celebration. I'll have more on the anniversary in an upcoming episode with Bushmills master distiller Colm Egan. Sticking with Irish whiskey news for a minute, Castle Brands is redesigning the packaging for its Clontarf Irish whiskey. Both Clontarf's single malt and blended versions will get the new bottling, which brings in the ties to the Battle of Clontarf in the year 1014. That's when Irish soldiers drove invaders off the island. Whiskey prices have been skyrocketing and could go even higher in the UK after the government releases its new budget next month. Current Prime Minister Gordon Brown kept taxes on spirits frozen while he served as Chancellor of the Exchequer, but that's likely to change when Alistair Darling releases his budget March 12th. Scotch Whiskey Association Chief Executive Gavin Hewitt meets with Treasury officials this week to make his case for keeping the freeze in place. According to the SWA, taxes account for 71% of the price of whiskey in the UK, which already has some of the world's highest whiskey taxes. Let's go back to the last episode for a second and follow up on the debut of the new Black Beaumont. First, I have to apologize for a major mistake. The chief blender at Beaumont is Ian McCallum, not, as I said, Ian McMillan. It was a mistake on my part, and Ian, I'm sorry. Now, if you'd like to taste the Black Beaumont but don't have the $4,500 for a bottle, Graham Watson may be able to help. Graham runs the Grill Bar in Aberdeen, Scotland, and has a bottle that he'll be putting behind the bar. It'll cost you £150 for a dram, though. That's about $300. Putting that in perspective, his highest-priced current dram is a 1941 Macallan bottled by Gordon and MacPhail that goes for £60 a dram. But if you have the money, it is worth it. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. Just got word about a whiskey dinner with Laphroaig Ambassador Simon Brooking in New Hope, Pennsylvania this coming Friday night, February 22nd. It includes a whiskey tasting and four-course dinner with dishes prepared with scotch. You'll find a link at the WhiskeyCast website. Another new addition to the calendar later this month, the Brandy Library in New York City will hold a charity tasting of Highland Park malts on the 27th. In addition to the regular Highland Park line, Brand Ambassador Martin Duraz will pour a special set of four rare single cask bottlings. The event benefits the Shalimar, and there's a link for tickets at the WhiskeyCast website. This coming Saturday is the Edinburgh Whiskey Festival in Edinburgh. Whiskey Live London is next weekend, along with the North Netherlands Whiskey Festival in Groningen. The Astor Center in New York City holds a Scotch tasting class with F. Paul Picoult on March 3rd. The Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's Australian chapter will hold tastings on March 5th in Melbourne, the 6th in Adelaide, and the 7th in Brisbane and Sydney. And Whiskey Shift takes place in Luzerne, Switzerland on March 7th and 8th. That's the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask. Become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay at Laphroaig.com. The winter issue of Malt Advocate magazine is out, and the cover story this time around focuses on cask ownership programs. Johnny McCormick wrote the cover story, and it's a perfect example of the advice all writers get. Write what you know about.
My interest really started in it because I'm a cask owner myself, and I got a barrel of Bruichladdich filled on my wedding day. And the real key thing that happened in the last year was that both Glengoyne and McAllen began to link distillery hospitality with the cask ownership schemes. And so we went from the traditional thing of very small distillers using it as a cash generator to really some of the big boys coming into play. And you know, I think if you're thinking of becoming a cask owner, or you know, you read the article in the current edition of Malt Advocate, and you know, I think it really becomes an indispensable guide to selecting, filling, and maturing and bottling your own cask. You know, it's the most bespoke thing you can almost do in whiskey as a consumer, and I think, you know, for the discerning gentleman drinker that has his own cask maturing in Scotland, it's really quite a satisfying experience being a cask owner.
And these schemes have been around for a long time, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, the distillery schemes have come and gone. Springbank used to do them. Tully Bardon did them in the initial days, but weren't going to continue them long term. And the reputation of cask ownership schemes got quite a bad reputation in the 80s and early 90s, with brokers and middlemen selling casks that either didn't exist or weren't exactly what they said they were. And really, all that's behind me. And so the purpose of the article in the current Malt Advocate was to state once and for all that, you know, that's in the past. The schemes these days sell direct from the distillery to the consumer themselves. So, you know, there's an awful lot of questions I wanted to ask. And so, you know, the article will tell you everything about, you know, why you'd want a cask of whiskey, why you'd want to follow the journey and have that input into selecting the cask, you know, why the modern schemes are trustworthy, and which distilleries offer cask deals and what you might expect. One of the big issues is the cost of it, and the costs do vary between the distilleries, and it depends what you want and what you want to pay for. But there's also costs at the other end when it comes to the bottling and distilling and labelling. So particularly because Malt Advocate is most widely read in North America, it was important to see if the companies had thought through the trajectory of the importation and bottling and delivery of the bottles to the consumer at the other end.
Let's talk about the costs first at the producing end, buying it from the distillery. What can one expect to pay, and what's available out there?
Well, the costs are going up. I mean, the cost I paid for my barrel of Bruichladdich went up about 40% in 12 months, and that wasn't Bruichladdich's fault. That was just the cost of casks arising. The cost of barley has shot up immensely, so they're having to pass on those costs at source. But what you pay for at the start is the cost of the cask, the spirit, insurance, and warehousing under bond, and that can be anything from 8 to 12 years. And you can pay for additional warehousing after that if you intend to mature your cask for a specific length of time, if you're saving it like I intend to do for my silver wedding when it's 25 years old. But the cost will range, and it depends on the selections you make. So, you know, some of the distilleries, such as Glengoyne and the McAllen, offer quite a dizzying range of wood choices, and you can choose between a first and second fill, and whether you want you know, a sherry cask or an ex-bourbon cask, and that really determines the price. I mean, the sherry casks are, to get a good quality sherry cask, it's going to cost you a lot more money. So most of the top-end ones are either, you know, for sherry butts or, you know, particularly rare wood types. So you can pay anything from around about $2,000 for a cask, right up to, you know, some of the dearest ones, the McAllen, that might cost somewhere in the region of $17,000.
And there are some benefits that come along with that in some cases, right?
Sure. I mean, some of the distilleries are, you know, they don't produce not that much whiskey. Bladnam, for example, have quite a limited run. So one of the schemes that they have, you know, it works on the fact that there's not going to be much Bladnock around at the other end when you come to bottling it up. The McAllen only do 50 casks a year. And Malt Advocate's barely hit the shelves, and we've already had people wanting to buy cask, contacting the magazine, and we've been passing their details on to the Macallan. So, you know, some of these schemes may see a big upsurge in popularity, which would be very satisfying. But there's other things that you can get, and there's little incentives such as, you know, cask owner only bottlings. Bruichladdy do one, and Glengoyne do one. They've got a cask number 195 that's an American oak, as I recall, and you get that when you take up your cask scheme. You know, you can get your cask customized at the stenciling. Glengoyne also put your name up on a brass plate in the stillhouse, and both Macallan and Glengoyne both put on fairly lavish filling days for the cask owners to come by and celebrate that moment as the new spirit goes into the cask.
Let's go back to the money end of it now, because there are costs at the other end too, right?
That's absolutely right. I mean, that's one of the things that really wasn't that apparent a few years ago with cask schemes is, you know, the costs that are published in the Malt Advocate article, you can really double or triple those for what you might pay at the other end. And to be fair to the companies, they really can't give you an accurate figure at this stage, because all the costs and things are subject to change and things out of their control at the other end. But you've got to pay for bottling, and some companies will bottle it themselves and label it themselves. Other companies will send it to independent packages. You've got to pay for bottling, labelling. You know, generally you're not going to get the official distillery looking bottle at the end of that. You know, my Bruichladdy is not going to be bottled in the nice squat bottles that Bruichladdy do, with all the branding and labelling of it that's Bruichladdy. So there are some limitations on quite how it's presented, but you know, you can have a hand in designing the labels and again, you know, custom it to your own needs.
And then there's taxes, of course.
There's taxes, of course, to pay, and again, it depends what countries. And I know, because Whiskey Cask got listeners all over the world, everyone's going to have to pay slightly different taxes depending on where they are. What I did find is that the Macallan were the one company really seemed to be at the forefront of looking at the whole process from beginning to end, and you know, they will make sure that you're not just, you know, driving halfway across the country to pick up a pallet of bottles somewhere. You know, they've really thought it through, and you know, they're looking after the customers from the start to the end is really quite impressive. And I think the Glengoyne as well were really trying to say that, you know, this isn't just you send your check off, you get your certificate of ownership, and 10 years later you get your whiskey. They really want it to be a journey. They want you to enjoy you know, seeing samples of your whiskey as time goes by, seeing how the colour's changing the nosing notes, and you know, and really watching that development and having that first-hand experience, you know, of having your own cask sitting there maturing in Scotland.
Tell me about your journey.
Well, I am a big Bruichladdy fan, and it's certainly one of my favourite malt whiskies. And when I saw the scheme was there, I thought that would be a really good idea. Actually, the idea I got for bottling it for my silver wedding was when I was going around Fetterken, and on part of the distillery tour, they were talking about a Japanese gentleman who had a barrel of Fetterken sitting there for saving for his silver wedding, and I thought, that's a great idea. I'm going to nick that. So I copied him, and but I didn't tell a single person about it until my speech. I was standing there on my wedding day and announcing that I had this barrel of Bruichladdy that they had filled on the week of the wedding, and just before my wife stuck a fork into my leg, I got her a nice diamond necklace as well to kind of make up for it. But you know, we had a rocking good time at the wedding, and all the Bruichladdy behind the bar got drunk and drunk dry that night, so it was really quite a day.
Now, I have to ask, Johnny, I have to ask, since you announced this on your wedding night at your reception,
yep.
Did you clear this ahead of time with her?
No, that was my one of the little surprises up my sleeve. Yes, before she could utter the words, how much did this cost? I was, you know, I had a nice wedding gift to give her as well with a diamond necklace. But, you know, I'm glad I got in the year I did, because the costs certainly have gone up. And I haven't yet got a sample from my barrel. Brooklady have offered that, but it's, you know, it's a bourbon barrel, and it's really only been there maybe 18 months or so. So I'm going to wait till it's 3 years before I get my first sample, and I begin enjoying it from there. But the next step is next time I'm back on Islay to go and visit it and give it a pat and see how it's going on.
Why did you pick Brooklady?
The time when I was selecting the casks, there weren't quite the range of cask schemes that there were. There was the Isle of Arran one, Tullibarden was still doing one, and Brooklady did one, and just being one of my favorite malts. And I really like, you know, what Mark Rainey and Jim McEwan do there, and I've been a big fan of their work since the distillery got back up and going in 2001, and so, you know, just wanted to play a part in that, and you know, take that journey with them. And I think, you know, maybe the decision to keep it for 25 years isn't the best, because the whiskey may actually be at its peak before that. So you know, they'll give you advice on the best time to bottling it. But hopefully the silver wedding in 2031 or wherever it'll be is going to be one hell of a party.
What advice would you give someone who's just starting on this journey?
Well, I mean, I would thoroughly recommend that people go for it. You know, you've got to think what you're going to do with several hundred bottles of the same whiskey, 10, 12 years down the line. But you've got to know, it's ideal if you're in a whiskey club or you've got a group of friends together and, you know, you can split some of the costs. Bladnock, for example, have great flexibility, and they'll sell you a tenth of a cask or even a twentieth of a cask if you go in with a group of friends. So the cost might not actually be that high if you're going in with a group. I would certainly advise people to read widely about it and read all the small print, because the costs are something you need to bear in mind, and particularly the costs at the other end, because getting into it is the easy bit. It's the after you've made that commitment and been in the long haul, and you've got to then pay for it at the other end. I would certainly take advantage of some of the newer schemes. You know, Glengoyne do pre-tasting sessions, and they're quite happy to let you come to the distillery, and they'll show you the examples of their whiskey that have been matured in the different types of wood, and that will help someone who's perhaps less experienced with the range to really make the best selection and really choose a type of wood and a style of whiskey that's going to particularly suit their palates. You know, I would certainly underline the fact that this article in Malt Advocate has all the facts, and the big table that gives you all the costs and all the differences between the different schemes is really unmissable, and it's you know, it's the indispensable guide.
Now, if there's a distillery that one likes that isn't listed here, does that mean that they don't offer a cask scheme program, or it's just that you have to go ask them about it?
Well, in general, but you know, because this is, you know, it had a bad reputation 15, 20 years ago, then a lot of companies aren't particularly, you know, they don't need to do it. There's such a demand for whiskey across the world at the moment that they don't need to do this for cash reasons or for cash flow. I think, you know, it may be that we see this as a more popular choice because more and more distilleries are offering, connoisseur and enthusiasts tours of their distilleries, and really the interaction between the whiskey lovers and the whiskey producers is growing all the time. So I think it'd be really nice if we could see a much wider range of distilleries offering cask sales, and you know, we'll see the response to this article in Malt Advocate if there's a lot of people take up on these schemes as a result of that, as of finding out more about it. You know, we see other companies tempted to offer that, but you know, there's pretty stiff competition out there. You know, the Glengoyne and Macallan have put together really great portfolios to help you choose and help you select that, and you know, the other companies have a lot to recommend them as well, because they, you know, they may be able to offer you filling on a particular date, like a wedding date or an anniversary, like I had.
And it should be noted that you don't jump into this for the investment of buying whiskey for 20, 30 years down the road.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. This is for whiskey lovers to do, and it's certainly not something you should look at as a long-term investment. You know, sure, at the moment we're going through a whiskey boom and the costs are rising, the demand are going up, and you might think it'd be a good investment. But, you know, we all know that the whiskey business works in big circles, and you know, 10 years' time, who knows, there might be a glut of whiskey And everybody could be rather depressed again. So yeah, I certainly wouldn't recommend anybody doing it as an investment point of view. And I would certainly only deal directly with the distilleries and not through any other middlemen. And you know, if you are going as a group, make sure that it's all nice and legal, and you've all discussed about it, and you're not going to fall out over it as time goes on. But no, there are some flexibilities, and you know, Brookladdy offer to buy back a portion of the cask to cover the cost of the distilling, of the bottling and labelling at the end. And so there can be ways of offsetting it so you don't face such a huge bill at the other end. But no, I mean, the chances of your single cask whiskey that you've distilled there being able to compete on the open market is pretty limited. On the other hand, though, there are companies like Isle of Arran that will do corporate sales, and they'll send to independent retailers and bottlers, and you know, there is that opportunity for people that have their own whiskey store if they want to have a particular label on their own cask, just for the store, and that would be something that would be quite exclusive. But I think you'd have difficulties independently selling that amount of whiskey if you're not in the business.
I know that there are some distilleries that have actually bought casks back from owners just because of the shortage of whiskey these days, and that's not the kind of investment you want to make, is saying, I'm going to buy this cask now. Maybe they'll buy it back from me, or it'll be worth more to the distillery 10, 15 years from now than what I'm paying for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly, you know, the price I paid for my cask, I couldn't get anywhere this year. And so, you know, you think, oh, well, maybe this is a great opportunity, but I would discourage people from going into that. I mean, you need to do it for the love of whiskey and the passion of following it through. I think, doing it because you might make a few bucks in 10 years' time is really not what these schemes are all about. This is done for the consumers. It's done for the enjoyment of it, and the fact that you'll have a cute line of sample bottles along your shelf there with the deepening colour as the time goes on. You know, it's going to be fantastic. But I think doing it from an investment point of view is probably the wrong reasons. And I don't think any of the companies are pretending that it's a good investment when they're doing that. You know, it's slightly reckless. You know, we enjoy whiskey responsibly, but this is slightly financially irresponsible. But heck, it's good fun. And I think the right people are going for it. And you know, it's really encouraging to see that since this edition of Malahide came out, you know, we've already got people clamoring for casks. So you know, perhaps this year you want to get in quick.
What does your wife think about this now?
Well, she was a reluctant whiskey drinker, and she's got into it a wee bit more as time's gone on, and she supports it, and she's loved it when we've gone to Isla, and hopefully we'll be back there soon. You know, I've got my own laddie now. I've got a wee boy who's 6 months old, so I have a more important laddie in my life than my barrel on Isla. But hopefully one day we'll take him back there. You know, the silver wedding. You know, he's going to be just at the age when you want to introduce him to decent malt whiskey. So fingers crossed, you'll enjoy that in the future.
By the way, it's not just Scotch whiskey distilleries that offer cask ownership programs. Tasmania Distillery in Australia will also sell casks to individuals. And while you can't buy one at distillation time, Jack Daniel's will also sell full casks of its Tennessee whiskey. Finally, thanks to the listeners who offered feedback on the new WhiskeyCast website, and I really appreciate your patience through the growing pains. The address is www.whiskeycast.com, and you'll find links for this week's stories, the calendar of events, a complete archive of past episodes, and the WhiskeyCast store. By the way, my email address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I welcome your questions and suggestions. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2008, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.